Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
Ephesians chapter 6. You know, very rarely I speak on a subject for so long. This is part 8. And I just really feel that as we've been speaking about spiritual warfare, I just think it's begun to ignite something in our life. And in consideration of what is happening around our crazy world with people doing all sorts of crazy things, bringing harm to others, and especially what's on our plate as a nation regarding changes to laws that will affect the marriage status, and I just think it's good for us to know that we're not here on a pleasure cruise. I do enjoy the Christian life, but sometimes there is warfare. And it's not so much waving banners. I believe it's speaking our voice, but also there's something that needs to happen in the closet. Because our battle really at the end of the day is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the sinister forces that influence the minds of people in authority. Am I saying they're evil? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that sinister forces invade their minds. And my subject matter this morning is so important for each one of us so that we're not swept along in the current of what is cool at the moment and not seeing the consequence. And I just believe that everything comes back to this. Amen? Not what the loudest voice says, but what does the word say. And here it says in Ephesians 6 and verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the enemy. And I find that the enemy's schemes are always subtle. They come in by stealth. You kind of hardly know they're there, but there because it's so, you know, so slow so many times in the change. And you just think, wow, how did that happen? But we are not ignorant of the enemy's schemes or devices. And then it goes on to say, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And therefore, it says, take up the whole armor of God. It doesn't say, come on, church, it's time to stress. No, it says, it's time to be alert. It's time to be our best. Thank God for the freedoms we have in Australia, but I want to tell you, they are under threat. Your freedom of speech is under threat. And I believe it's time, while we have a voice, to stand up and we're going to declare the truths that we have in Christ, that if the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. Though there may be external things that happen, it's not going to bind up my spirit. And here it says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And you might say, what is our authority to stand? The ever-proven word of God. For centuries, people have tried to destroy it. I think in France, in one stage, they tried to destroy it, but it's still alive and active. Still one of the bestsellers, or the bestseller in the world. The next book that's a bestseller in the world is Pilgrim's Progress. So we're still up there. So the Word of God, there's something about the Word of God, the Bible. And to withstand in the evil day, and having done, to stand. How do we stand? We stand in truth. We don't stand in legalism, we stand in truth. What do we stand in? The truth that's found in the Word of God. And he says, let truth be a belt around your waist. So not only having truth on the external, but having truth on the internal. Psalm says, I desire truth in the inward parts. And I just want to encourage us as people here today, God is never looking for perfection as per se, but he's looking for people of truth. Well done, good and faithful servant. He's looking for people of truth, and have that in your life and something you produce. So we are to stand in truth. We are to stand in the breastplate of righteousness. I just love that picture of the breastplate where the blood of Jesus Christ covers me. It covers me. It covers me. We're in the right house this morning. It covers me. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from every sin. And if you've accepted Christ into your life, I want to tell you, there's symbolisms. You have the breastplate. You have the blood of Jesus Christ upon your life. If you have known sin in your life, confess it to God. Because if you don't, you allow the enemy to inroad within your life. I used to kind of go to a church in my teenage years where they used to say, you know, somewhere during the service, okay, have time out. You guys have got to really think deep. Go witch hunting. Just find something where you're not right with God and get it right with God. To be honest with you, I'm not into that. I just believe that if something wrong in your life, you get that unease, you get that knowing, and you put it right with God. We keep the breastplate in place within our life, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. When the enemy brings up the past, man, my past is under the blood. And what you need to do when the enemy brings up your past is bring up the devil's future, because he is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Burn! And I'm not burning with you. And it says your feet shod with the gospel of peace. We can't keep everybody happy. But I believe the Prince of Peace dwells in our life. And as much as lies within us, we are at peace with all people. So just a practical thing that I look at is I just look behind me. Am I creating a slipstream of peace? Or agitation or confusion, because whatever is in me will be outworked in my walk. And God, I want to have my feet shod with peace. Then the shield of faith. Oh, I love that one. The shield, symbolic of having faith in God, that as I put my faith out, the fiery darts of the enemy may come to me, but they hit my shield that's bathed in the water of the Word of God. They're extinguished, and I continue to move forward. I see the shield not only as a defensive, but offensive. I can stand, and I can move forward in the shield of faith. And then the helmet of salvation. Oh, I love that whole concept. And it's interesting to note that the helmet of salvation has to do with the hope of salvation. Salvation is always working in my life. I was saved, I am saved, and I will be saved. God is outworking this great salvation within my life that brings peace, that brings blessing, that brings prosperity, that brings a greater awareness of His truth within my life. And I put His helmet on, and it protects my mind from the onslaughts of the enemy. And I can continue to declare, yes, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus dwells in me. Greater is He that's within me than he that is in the world. I am saved. We're saved, and I will be saved. Salvation is at work within my life. Thank God it was an occasion where I got saved. But thank God it's continuously working within my life in Jesus' name. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on. And then it says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hey, girl, mate. Can you? Whoa. Here's my ninja. Thank you. Hey, that ain't a knife. This is. You might say, why did you bring that into church? There could be some nutto in here that runs up and grabs it out of my hand. Well, good luck. So when we're talking about the sword of the Spirit, Paul kind of had something like this in mind. And they went from this length to shorter. And it's called the gladius. It's a double-edged blade, 12 inches to 30 inches, not a long sword, but the gladius used to use this in close combat. And it was preferred weapon. It was a weapon of choice by the Romans, and it was the most deadliest weapon in the then known world. They had their shield, and this would come up the side. It wasn't for swinging, because they'd probably kill half of their friends. It was for jabbing. Who'd like to come and stand in front of me to make sure it works? Jab, jab, jab. And he talks about, this is symbolic of the Word of God. And you might say, where did you get this? It's completely legal, I think. And someone gave it to me years ago, and they said, we want you to have it. It's symbolic. And every time it's on my office wall, and every time I look at it, I just think, man, the Word of God is my authority. The Word of God is our value. The Word of God is our future. And what I love about this, it's not only do, but look at this end here. And they used to use it like this, then down on the head. This would pierce into their skull or into the back of their neck. And it was an amazing weapon. And what God's trying to say to us, hey, you got the Word of God, which you can keep on moving forward in. And when the occasion comes, kaboom! Death to sin. Death to the enemy. The attack of the enemy in Jesus' name. Oh, I love the Word of God. I think, though, I'll put this down. Let's give our gladiator hand. Gladiator friend, thanks, mate. We don't want that hanging around the pulpit today, do we? If you're online, it's all good. Now, you see, it's not enough that we are not conquered, but we are to conquer. Does that make sense? It says we are more than overcomers through him who loved us and gave himself for us. And just for a little while this morning, I just want to take you on a little journey and talk to you about the Word of God, because in the Greek, the scripture is written in Greek and Hebrew, as I understand it, and there's two Greek words for word. The first one is logos, which is the written word, and the second one is called rhema, which in our terminology we call the quickened word or the quiet, twice spoken word. So the written word is this, breathed of God, written over many, many years by different authors, and there's a thread all the way through it that declares about the name of Jesus and God's purpose for his people. It's the written word of God. It's a theology of God from Genesis to Revelations. Without this, we would not know anything about God. It would become like folklore. But the Word of God, tried and true over centuries, preserved, and here we are today. People say, man, I want a word from God. You've got 66 books full of the Word of God. And you might say you find it hard to read sometimes. Yeah, I do as well. I've learned over the years that if I'm a little bit depressed, don't read Leviticus. It is a tough book. If I want to be encouraged, go to Psalms. And just sometimes, just naturally work your way through the Word of God and pick up the truths and get them in your heart and in your life in Jesus' name. Interesting to note, in John 1 and verse 1, it says this, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does that mean? In the beginning was the Word, so it's always been, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then another scripture says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus was on earth, he was the Word that dwelt amongst us? But thank God that we have his word today written in form, and it stands strong beside us. So here it says again, can I have that sword back again, please? It says here in this scripture that we are to do something with the sword. And we can have the word of God. Thanks, mate. We can have the word of God just sitting there. And I guarantee that a lot of you people have got Bibles at home. Is that true? And probably you got more than one. I look at my bookshelf sometimes and I've got quite an amount of Bibles, different versions that help me understand different portions of Scripture. So there it sits. Actually, I take this Bible everywhere I go. Everywhere I travel, I put it in a hard case, I take it with me. You might say, why do you do that? Because I like to keep it near me. So there it is. There is the sword. So the Bible not only says to have a sword. See, a soldier could have the best sword, the sharpest sword, the best brand of sword. But if he never does anything with it, it doesn't work. So he says here to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What does he say? Take it in your hand. Take it within your heart. And symbolic is you got to pick up the word and begin to see it work within your life. God, what are you saying to me? And allow the word of God to speak to you. It's not so much how much scripture you read. Sometimes I just read a verse and I just go over it and over it. Sometimes I can read chapter after chapter, but sometimes I just get stuck and just meditate on it and just want the word of God just to speak within my heart. And he says, your word, listen, your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. Let's put it this way. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may make sound judgment, that I make sound decisions, because the filter that I make my major choices in life is not by modern philosophy or what the politicians are saying, but what the word of God says. And you might say, every time I make a decision, do I have to go to the word? No, I understand the framework of scripture. Is it in the canon? Is it in the bounds of the word of God? And we'll explain more of what I mean. So the logos word. Then we have the rhema word. Everyone say rhema. It's the spoken word of God. And it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. The rhema is found in the logos. A promise will come alive to your spirit. Let me put it this way. Logos, the written word of God, is what we believe. Is that true? It does say, let me just bring in the illustration. It does say, by his stripes you were healed. Now, who has ever prayed for healing and it hasn't happened? Don't be ashamed, I have. I've prayed for people to live and they've died. So, but that doesn't change the word of God and doesn't change what I believe. I prayed that I'd make $1 million and I lost $1 million. You just kind of think, does that change the word of God? No, it doesn't change. What needs to change is us. That our faith grows and expands and the kingdom of God is enlarged within me. So this is what I believe. I believe that God wants to prosper me. Are we in the right house? I believe that God wants to bless marriages. I believe that God wants to bless your children. It says a lamb for a house. I believe it's not God's will for any to perish, but all should come to salvation. I believe that's what the word of God says. It's his divine will and purpose. And I believe it, and I'll believe it to the day I die. I believe in divine healing. So if you're sick, I want to encourage you, keep on believing for healing. Yes, go to your doctor and all that kind of stuff. God can use all sorts of things. But continue to believe. Actually, I've seen people die believing to be healed. And you might say, well, it doesn't work. No, I'd rather die believing than die doubting. Are you hearing me? people die in faith. Are you going to die in negativity or die in faith? I'd rather die believing. So does that mean it doesn't work? No, it does mean it works. So I'm sick and I'm believing. I'm getting treatment, but I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. Then one day you'll be praying. And this doesn't happen to all people, but you need to know it can happen. I believe if you just simply believe, you can be healed. I completely believe that. I believe if you just believe, your marriage can be restored. I just believe that. But then sometimes, and it can come more often if you're aware of it, where you just think, God, believing for healing. Then one day you wake up and you just say, I not only believe, but I know I'm going to be healed. It's not something you talk yourself into. It's something that happened within your spirit. And that's what we call that God takes the logos of what you mean and it turns it into a rhema of what you know. And you just know it within your spirit that God's going to bless your business, that God's going to bless your family, that God's going to bless your finance, that God's going to bless the church. You just know it beyond a shadow of doubt. You haven't got a clue when, but you know. And your prayer begins to change from one of, God, help me, from, Lord, I thank you that I am healed by the precious blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that my finances are going to get better and better through the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, my marriage is going to be restored. Something has clicked within your spirit. And I want to tell you, I choose to live by the written word of God because I will keep trusting God. But sometimes it flips over and you just know that you know that you know. What kept Abraham going all these years? He just knew that he knew that he knew. What kept Noah going for 120 years? He just knew that he knew that he knew. It's a faith, it's a knowing, it's a confidence, it's an amazing thing. And we'll talk more in a moment of what happens in your spirit when the Spirit of God quickens something within your life. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. If you want faith to be quickened within your heart, I just want to encourage your church, get a fresh love for this. Ah, come on, get a fresh love for this. Don't let Sunday just be the only day you look at a scripture, you open your Bible, spend some time during the week, open your Bible, open your iPad, open your iPhone, and just, whether it's you're reading it or hearing it, and just let it penetrate within your heart, becomes a seedbed for God to speak into your life.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.